Tonight we begin our reading in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, and we will read through chapter 3 and verse 16, and our main focus tonight will be on verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Hear then God's holy word, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in your anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. He will invade them with his troops. Having heard God's word, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we last week looked at verse 20 of chapter 2. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And we might rightly ask the question, in light of verse 20 of chapter 2, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say? How shall we respond to what God has told us in chapter 2 in verse 20? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Maybe we should say nothing. After all, if the Lord is in his holy temple, and we are called to hush before him, perhaps the correct response is just to be quiet. And yet God stirs his prophet by the Holy Spirit to actually respond to what God has in fact said in chapter 2. God stirs his prophet Habakkuk to indeed reply to what God has indeed said to him and to us, not just in verse 20 of chapter 2, but in verses 2 through 20 of Habakkuk chapter 2. And as then we look at this Holy Spirit-inspired response, we see tonight that the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our own lips. The Lord God Almighty would place a trembling prayer upon our own lips tonight. He does this, first of all, as he inspires his prophet to write this response of chapter 3. We note that it begins in verse 1 this way, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. This appears to be a nomenclature which identifies chapter 3 as a chapter which is to be used corporately by the people of God. And it is the Lord himself who inspires his prophet to record this prayer. And in fact, if you drop your eyes down to the end of verse 19, you will see there a footnote to this chapter, which reads like this, "To the chief musician with my stringed instruments." So this was not only a prayer, which here the Holy Spirit inspired Habakkuk to write in response to chapter 2, but it is a prayer which is to be sung together with the people of God. As I said, we perhaps would not know how to respond to chapter 2 and verse 20. We would probably do well to not respond at all if we were left on our own. But graciously, the Lord hasn't left us on our own in terms of how to respond to the message which we have heard from him through his prophet Habakkuk. God specifically inspires Habakkuk to record this prayer for you and me, to record it so that we would recount it, that it would be placed upon our lips tonight, that we would even use this prayer in our response to the holy word of God, which he has spoken to us through his prophet. And so here tonight, the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our lips, first of all, by graciously stirring his prophet Habakkuk, inspiring his prophet to record what we should pray. And that's so important because very often we don't know what to pray. We don't know always how to rightly respond to God's word, which he speaks to us, particularly difficult and challenging words, words of threat, words of judgment, words which indeed come to us in this prophecy. But this leads to our second point tonight. As the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our lips, he doesn't only do so as he inspires his prophet. He does so, secondly, as we hear and fear. As we hear and fear. Verse 2, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid." Note here how God inspires Habakkuk to put this in the first person. Though this is something which is to be prayed together as the people of God, though this is something which is to be prayed even in song as the people of God lift up their voice together, it's in the first person singular. And therefore, you, as you take these words upon your lips, you are the one who is speaking the experiential reality that Habakkuk here records for us. Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, I heard the hearing of you. I feared. This is what is placed first upon our lips in light of God's threat of judgment against the proud, God's promise that his program is unstoppable, and God's exalted position in his holy temple in heaven. We hear God speak, and it's not just we hear, it's I hear, I heard, I personally have heard the hearing of you. I have heard your word, and I feared. I heard. Matthew Henry puts it this way. What has Habakkuk heard, and what is it that you and I have heard? We have heard the decree that has gone forth, the decree which has gone forth from God for the afflicting of his covenant people who have been unfaithful to him. That's what we have heard. Now, we have also heard that those whom God is going to use to afflict his unfaithful covenant people will meet their end also. But we have heard the decree that has gone forth for the afflicting of the people of God who have been unfaithful to their covenant Lord. I heard all that you answered to me from verse 2 all the way to verse 20. I was waiting for you to speak, O Lord, and now I have heard. I have heard, and I am afraid. I am afraid at what you have said. I am afraid at what you have said because I believe. Because I believe your word. Because I believe that you are not only a God who speaks, but you are a God who acts. And you are a God who fulfills what you say you will do. I have heard, and I am afraid. I tremble. I tremble before you in light of the decree that has come forth from your lips. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 66. It's in Isaiah 66, verse 1, that God says this, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." I have heard the decree of affliction which you have proclaimed against your unfaithful covenant people, and I am afraid. I am afraid because the decree which you have pronounced is not just a decree to destroy the Babylonians, who will indeed exalt themselves in pride as they are used as a hammer in your hand to chastise your people. I am afraid because you have announced that you are against all who are proud, not just the Babylonians, but especially those who are proud, who are named by your name, who are not trusting in you, those who are proud, whose souls are not upright in them. You have announced the decree, and affliction is coming. It is on the horizon, and I fear because I believe you are not only one who speaks, but you are the one who does what you have said. It's in Isaiah chapter 66 that Isaiah 100 years earlier had in fact said very similarly what Habakkuk here is afraid of, that God's judgment is going to touch God's people, not just going to touch the nations out there, but is going to touch God's people. A little bit later in Isaiah 66, God had said through the prophet, "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, 'Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy.' But they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies." What Isaiah is saying, what God is saying through Isaiah, is what he is saying through Habakkuk as well, that God's judgment will fall upon even ones in the assembly of the Lord because they are proud and they have exalted themselves over against their brethren and have thought themselves to be something when they are nothing. They have trusted in their own works and not in the work of the Lord. And so the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our lips as we, in the first person singular, take it up. "I have heard your speech, and I was afraid." And there's something here for you and me to experience in terms of God's pronouncements of judgment, which must begin at the household of God, as 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 says, There's something which should stir us and affect us and cause us to tremble, that we hear the word of God, we hear the decree which indeed has been announced, and we should fear. We should fear. It is a fearful and dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God and to consider that God's winnowing fork comes to separate the wheat from the chaff in the church is something which should cause us to tremble. It is something which should cause us to draw near to God as well, not run from Him, but draw closer unto God. As this chapter continues on, there is a vision which, as it were, is portrayed to us. We read it in verses 3 through 15, and it is a vision which is, as it were, replaying God's hand of judgment against His enemies as He came to rescue His people out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt. The great work of the Exodus, the pinnacle work of redemption in the Old Testament, and it's put on display for us as we pray this prayer, as we sing this song, as we indeed say these words in the first person singular. We have heard, and we are afraid that salvation does come, but it comes after judgment. And here again, the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our lips. Yes, as He inspires His prophet to record this unexpected response. But also, as we hear and fear by taking these words upon our own lips. This leads to a third point tonight. As the Lord places a trembling prayer upon our lips, He does so thirdly as we pray in faith. As we pray in faith in light of what we have heard. And note again, the request of verse 2, O Lord, revive Your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. There are three petitions which God places upon our lips tonight in light of what He has spoken, in light of the decree that has gone forth for the afflicting of His people, His unfaithful people. Three petitions. The first one is, Lord, I pray, revive Your work in the midst of the years. Literally, cause Your work to live. Cause Your work to live in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years of distress and disaster, in the midst of the years when all appears lost and undone, oh Lord, cause Your work to go on living. What is the work of God which you and I are praying for to live? What is that work which we are praying when we take these words upon our lips? Revive Your work. What work? What is God's work? What is the work that we desire to see revived and alive and continuing on? Is it not the work of Him building His church? It is the Lord Jesus who said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Even when all seems dark, and even when God's hand of chastening comes severely against His covenant people, our prayer is, O Lord, cause Your work to go on and to live. One commentator said, Your church is the work of God's own hand, formed by Him and formed for Him. And our prayer, our petition is, do not let this work be snuffed out. Preserve Your covenant people alive. Preserve them in the midst of the years. Though Your church be chastened, do not let it be killed, said one commentator. And so we ask for God's work, for God to cause His work to live. But we recognize that if His work, His church, is to live in the midst of the years. We also are praying for God's work of grace to be revived and to live and to go on. His work of grace to us and in us, sanctify your rod of chastening to us that we might learn. Draw us close so that we would indeed be ones who are deeply dependent upon you. Revive your work of grace to us in the midst of the years. And most certainly, as we think of God causing His work of His church building to live and His grace to be alive and well in and to us, we recognize that all of this might be summarized in that mother promise. What is the mother promise which we read of in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15? The first promise to our fallen and wrecked parents. The promise which is so desperately needed to live and to not die. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will crush his heel. Oh, that mother covenant promise. Cause your work through that promise to go on, to live, that the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac and of Jacob, the seed of Judah and of Jesse and of David, cause your promise, your covenant promise to live. I will be your God and you shall be my people. Cause your covenant promise to live in the midst of the years when all appears to be dead. Cause your work to arise. And here is the prayer which indeed is placed upon our lips tonight. A trembling prayer. Lord, I've heard. I'm afraid because I believe that you are not only one who speaks, but you are one who does what you say. And therefore I pray in the midst of the years, in the midst of distress and disaster, cause your work to be revived and to live and to not be snuffed out. But there's a second petition which is here as well, that you and I are called to take upon our trembling lips. In the midst of the years, it's repeated again for emphasis, in the midst of the years, don't wait until the years are all done. In the midst of the years, make it known. Cause it to be known. Well, make what known? Make your work to be known. Cause your work to be known. Reveal your work. Do not allow it to remain hidden. Reveal it so that we can see it and embrace it and know it. Announce your work. Spread your work even to the ends of the earth, that you may be known. In the midst of the years, O Lord, cause it to be known. Your work of power, your work of promise, your work of pity. Do not wait until the years are over. Do not wait until we are done and dead in the grave. But, O Lord, cause your work to be known. Your work, not just of judgment, which you have announced, but your work of salvation. Your work of rescue, your work of deliverance, your work of raising the dead to new life. But there's a third and final petition which is put on your lips as well tonight. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. But here is the last petition. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. It's an interesting word for the word wrath, which is used here in the Hebrew text. It literally means quaking, shaking, and trembling, an emotional response to terror. In in quaking, shaking, and trembling. O Lord, remember mercy. Remember compassion. Remember pity. Remember, O Lord, do not forget that you are the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Do not forget who you are and what you have revealed of yourself to us when all is shaken, when fear takes hold, when wrath reaches us and it is at the door and turning the handle to come in. Remember mercy. Remember mercy. Remember your mercy, which you have promised to us in the seed of the woman. It's interesting. Habakkuk does not record for us, in wrath, remember our merits. No. For if God were to remember our merits in his wrath, there would be no hope for us at all. For we would only merit more wrath. But we don't pray for God to remember our merits in a time of wrath. We pray for him to remember his mercy. God, who is ever just and the one who avenges himself upon the wicked and his enemies, is also ever compassionate. And these two things are both equally true of our God. And as then we have heard what God has said, as then we have trembled and feared before what God has said, as we have petitioned him to revive and to make his work to live and to make it known unto us first and to our children and our children's children and our children's children, we pray, O Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And so tonight, we respond to the end of chapter 2 and verse 20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Yes, there is a time for us to hush and to be quiet. But after that time of silence, there are words which God puts upon your lips tonight. Words which indeed need to be experienced personally and prayed persistently. And that we would be a people indeed who can say, verse 2, pray, verse 2, and depend that the Lord will hear, verse 2. And we wonder, yes, when is it that God causes his work to live in the midst of the years of death and disaster and despair? When is it that he causes his work to be made known to the ends of the earth? When is it that he will remember mercy in the midst of wrath? And is it not preeminently fulfilled and seen and answered even at the cross? We come to a table tonight. We come to the Lord's table tonight. And we're called to remember. To remember what? That God in wrath has remembered mercy. And so though we may not know what to say, God stoops down to us like stooping down to little children. And he says, My little son, my little daughter, here are the words. The words, the right words, the Holy Spirit-inspired words which I place upon your trembling lips to pray unto me and to see what I am up to and to understand where indeed my answer is to be found to these petitions, ultimately in my Son. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we have heard. We have heard the hearing of you, and we tremble when we think of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. But how we thank you that you have not left us in silence, silencing us forever, but that rather you have stirred our hearts to speak to you, that you would cause your work to live in us, that you would cause your work to be known in us, not just intellectually, but that your work would be known in us experientially. And we know that we will only experience the vivifying, making alive work of you as we look to the place where in wrath you have remembered mercy. Oh, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. For you have gone forth for the salvation of your people. You have gone forth for salvation with your anointed one, your Messiah. And so though we quake at the even thought of the terror of your wrath, yet we see your wrath satisfied on Calvary's cross. And we praise you. We thank you. We worship you. We honor you. Make us then to be a people who pray and continue to pray that your work may be known to the ends of the earth, that your work would not be cut short in this world in the midst of the years, but rather that you would cause it to thrive. And so we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.